Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. This is Tyson Harley, and DeMarcus is with me as this is another NFL preview-ish week. How you doing, DeMarcus?
Doing incredible. How about you, Unc?
You know, I'm doing okay. It's kind of cool. I went to a college football game last Saturday, and it was neat because what would happen is it was the SEC, whatever. No, I have less grudge against the SEC because they do just have organically the best football talent, and they don't try to reach across the universe to grab another team like the Big Ten does. And they're kind of contiguous, what you say tomato, I say tomato, as far as the states that they have, because they did grab Missouri, but they had Arkansas before, right? So anyway, went to an SEC game with someone who's blonde and about 6 inches taller than me, named DeMarcus. And anyway, I thought it was kind of cool, but I mean, only so cool, you know, because it was it's cool how what they did during this game is, like, here and there, they kind of do this little deal prompt back and forth where one half the stadium, the other half the stadium, and they go, M-I-S, and the other goes, E-R-Y, misery, M-I-S-E-R-Y. So I thought, what'd you say?
That's what you wish it was.
So anyway, yeah, that team that shall not be named, no, I'm kidding, Mizzou, kick some Mississippi State butt, and the running back got 300 yards, which is only the sixth time in SEC history and the second time in Missouri history. So that was fun, visiting Columbia for sure. I had a great time kind of running around.
He was chanting all the Mizzou chants and everything. I think I'm turning them.
Don't you dare. I mean, before you know it, no one will talk to me over here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, I don't know why. But I do know why historically, but you feel like surely we both would have gotten over it by now, but apparently not. KU and
on the right side of history.
KU and MU are nasty rivals, so much so that DeMarcus told me about something I knew about but didn't know the extent to which it was practiced, and that is the Mr. Brightside song that happens in about the third quarter every game. And the first time he told me this, well, KU finally played Mizzou for the first time since someone was cowards and left the conference about 11 years ago. But anyway, they beat him, and it wasn't as close as it looked on the scoreboard. That is, Mizzou beat KU. And so at the time, DeMarcus told me about this, they sing Mr. Brightside. And during the game, the KU game, there's a little pause and where the audience just has a sing-along in the third quarter, and it's just a little instrumental thing, and they go, FKU, except they say it, FK, about, what, 8-10 times in a row to fill out the entire little instrumental, basically.
Something like that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and they're into it. And then I'm
it's
like,
as loud as the stadium gets.
I'm like
seriously.
I'm like, I get it. Why not? I mean, that's the traditional rival, even though you're cowards and left the conference. But okay, I get it. But I didn't really get it, because it turns out that they do that every game, not because they play KU. So anyway, it was a kind of a close game with Mississippi State and in the first half, and then Mizzou pulled away easily. I'm with you, DeMarcus, that if you're it's a Hardy. What's his first name? A running back.
Amon.
Yeah, Amon Hardy. If he had gotten more play in the Alabama game, he would have been a Heisman contender. I mean, his yardage this year is crazy, and this would have been the icing on top of the cake. But he's going to be a running back, a Heisman candidate next year. So yeah, kind of fun. I hadn't been to a Division I college football game since I was actually younger than you, DeMarcus. So it was a Nebraska game and a similar beatdown. But it is, if there's any place where a beatdown is fun, I think it's going to be when you're in your home stadium live. Like on TV, even it even gets a little boring. I mean, you'll still watch it, but there you really want to watch it. And then you get so much mutual vibe with the rest of the crowd that even if you do leave like a quarter early, I mean, half of a quarter early, it was still so much fun just enjoying the beatdown. So, yeah, it was at least a cool experience.
We could probably have two or three We could probably have two or three just story time segments about the mutual appreciation from the fans around us at the game.
Oh yeah, those were just good. I mean, it's any. That's why you go to a Chiefs game, you go to a Bills game. Everybody has these stories. These people who are just definitely getting inebriated on purpose during the game. Why not? You know, it's just. And so that's going to be fun every time, just because you're near just so many people. But yeah, I enjoyed that and went to a few coffee shops and we did some things. So that was a really fun weekend. So now, as far as the NFL picks, I don't have the numbers in front of me. Those who have listened realize we didn't go last week and maybe the week before. So I don't have the numbers in front of me. I am caught up a hair, but I started to catch up on DeMarcus, but he was seven games ahead. And I think I'm now about three ahead or two ahead, something like that. I don't think he's still four, but he could be. We did not pick Thursday's game. We did not pick Thursday's game, but I am happy to see that the Bills lost. And, you know, I don't know what to say about that, but Bills lost to the Texans, which we'll take. But last week, we'll get into the Chiefs thing. Obviously, the high level is the Chiefs continue to punt away opportunities to get back in the race for even just the AFC West, let alone the playoffs. But we'll get to that when we get to it. So first game, I'll let you go if you'd like. DeMarcus is New York Jets at Baltimore. New York Jets are now 2-8, and Baltimore is 5-5. I don't think that Fields is even probably starting, is he?
He was last week, as far as I know, but I mean, I would bench him every other week too, so I'm not really sure. Not really totally sure. Let's see. No, I think it says he's going to be starting, but yeah, no. I was going to say it's like bittersweet that the freaking Texans won, because I couldn't really even enjoy it, because I'm like, oh great, now they're tied with us.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens when you screw around down there, when you have opportunities against the direct teams that you're going to be facing. I mean, aren't we behind the Jags now, or just even with them?
I'm pretty sure we're behind them.
Yeah, I think it's just too many people. We could miss the playoffs, even if we end really well. There's just too many teams to have to overcome. If it was like one or just our division, I wouldn't care so much, but there's a bunch of people in the way, not even in our division, so we don't have as direct control over them. Anyway, yeah.
If we were in the NFC, I wouldn't be worried at all. But yeah, no.
It wouldn't be a bad thing if we get reset, honestly. You know, it's just a shame. Oh, we'll hold on that. We got plenty to talk about on the Chiefs.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So Jets at Baltimore. So Jets coming in this game are 2-8. Baltimore's on a 4-game winning streak, and you know, Lamar's back and he's looking as precise as ever, and just playing really, really good football. And he's showing why he should have got MVP last year, because the team was absolutely nothing without him. And then he came back and they haven't lost since. So I don't expect it to be close.
You're just an Allen hater. It was his time. I'm kidding. No, go ahead.
I'm a fact observer, actually. Sorry.
Yeah. Tyrod Taylor actually is starting.
Oh, okay. My bad. But yeah, so Tyrod. Maybe Tyrod would probably throw way more than Justin would. I mean, you look at Justin, it's like, oh, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick. And you're like, wait, we're 12 weeks through the season. That's horrible.
And he played in Baltimore. Remember? He was a backup in Baltimore. Was he there earlier this year, even? There's two like semi-passy, semi-athletic, more slender quarterbacks that are older. I always get mixed up. Oh, it's Huntley. I always get him mixed up with Huntley. I do, just because I just always put them in the listen, it ain't about race. Just there's a couple of white guys that are almost always backups that I would always also mix up, okay? But yeah, I just do tend to get those two mixed up as far as where they've been and who they're playing for now.
Right, like Josh McCown and Chad Henne might as well be the same person in my mind before he came to the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not about race. It's about backups.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, I'm taking Baltimore here. I'm going to take them because they don't hesitate to blow people out. I'm going to take Baltimore by 24.
Yeah, and you know, we may not even, just because we're trying to be in a hurry here and potentially change this format for it to be more easy for me, look at the spreads. And we'll look at them one at a time. After, we're not going to adjust them. We'll just, after we picked, we'll see what they are. Obviously, the Browns are going to be way favored here. And so for me, I don't have a lot to add. It is what it is. The Ravens are on path to win that division, but the Steelers are being stubborn. So, you know, it's possible that they won't, but they have a lot to play for. And they've got Lamar back and have looked like a different team with him. So obviously Baltimore here, and I'm going to go even with it does have that first week feel of but it's not the typical first week feel, because it was Tyrod literally came from the Ravens. So they're going to have a sense of what he might do, you know, so it's not going to be the usual. We don't have enough film. We don't know what he might do. So, yeah, I agree. And I'll go Ravens by 13 at the Ravens. And the over under is, 13.5. So, all right. Yeah, I think that's fine. And so the next game is, hold on, let me look. I've got two different
Pittsburgh ones. At Chicago, I believe.
Yeah, it's Pittsburgh at Chicago. And just give me a moment, because I want to pull that up on the CBS thing as well.
Yeah, go for it. I actually really like that matchup, because both those teams are like, oh, well, they could lose it. They could drop a easy game at any given time.
That is a nice matchup. Who's the backup here? Who is it?
Mason Rudolph, the goat.
before it stood for two opposite things, which one was, oh, you know, you're the goat, and it means you were the it came from an expression. It just meant you were the one whose fault it was, or the one we're blaming it on. You mean that way, right? So yeah. So Steelers Bears. Wow, it is at the Bears, who have been, you know, surprisingly good recently. I still don't believe
the schedule got better too.
Yeah. I think the Steelers, if I had to guess, are probably, no, I don't think they're favored anyway with Rudolph. They might be favored anyway with Rudolph, but I'm not going to look yet. I'm just going to try to decide here. I think Pittsburgh's been
record.
I know they do 7-3 versus 6-4. I would not have guessed, because I wasn't a Rodgers believer, and I'm also not a Bears believer, that this would have been a combined, 13-7 record here coming in this week. But they've both teams been playing well. You know, there's not many more truisms than the Steelers, and eventually they're going to get to about 500, no matter what happens. And they'll probably just end up right around 500 too. But there they are at 6-4. To me, the Bears are the bigger surprise here. But with them having their starting quarterback, and the Steelers are going to try, but it's also at the Bears. I'm going to go with the Bears here, and I'm going to go with the Bears by 4 points.
All right, I like it. Rodgers, it'd be a super close and fun game, which it still probably will be. The Bears have made every single game close that they've won, so we'll see. But I don't think Mason Rudolph, ever since that, you know, violent attack that he had, you know, he needs a shirt that says, "I survived Miles Garrett."
Oh,
I don't think. Ever since then, he has been horrible every time I watch him play, and I hate watching him play football. So I don't think that they're going to win. But so I'm going to take Bears, but I'm only going to take them by 5. And it might be closer than that, but I got Bears by 5 at home.
The Bears are favored by less than what the neutral field would give them. They're only favored by 2.5. We might lose that one. All right, go ahead with the next one, which is New England at 9-2 at Cincinnati 3-7.
Jeez, New England at 9-2 again is so. Fans were like, "Oh, we're so bad. They're so miserable for 2 years."
Two or 3 years. Poor people. Yeah, poor Patriots fans.
Yeah, no, but yeah, so Patriots 9-2, Drake May playing like an MVP candidate, you know, as far as we've seen, which they've had an extremely easy schedule, and it's still easy.
We had stated last time we spoke, it was the easiest going into the time we looked at that, and ongoing, it would continue to be the easiest. So there's no way they're not making the playoffs anyway. Just to your point, go ahead and continue.
But yeah, I mean, they're getting it done, and also they beat Buffalo. And regardless of how good we truly believe Buffalo is, we know they're not a true, real powerhouse. They went and got it done, unlike us. So I respect them there. Patriots have been playing super, super nice. But I think Joe Flacco is going to make it a close game. I'm not going to take him in the upset, but I'm going to take Patriots only by 6.
All right. So CBS says there's at least some question as to whether Burrow is available. If he's keeping it close to his pocket, the coach, I just think that he's keeping it close to his pocket just so they have to prepare extra. I'll bet you they wait at least another week for Burrow. So I think that's a total bluff.
They have 7 losses. I wouldn't even risk it.
Yeah. Why? I mean, because they're on the same boat as us, but worse. There's no way you're overcoming all that traffic. It's just impossible. Yeah. It's like you're on the freeway trying to get to the next exit to the hospital, and you only have a quarter mile, and it's LA at 5:30. You're not making the exit. So I can't imagine that they were. I mean, I can imagine they worry about playing Burrow, but I don't know why. You know how many things would have to happen, but maybe they do. Going, here's the thing: they're not playing the team that's the team to take a chunk from to help them out. Because it doesn't really help them that much for New England to go to 9-3. So, yeah, I believe also then that, you know, it's going to be potentially close. And potentially close because of Flacco, but certainly not because of the Bengals defense or anything. So they have given up at least 27 points in 9 straight games. And, you know, I said it, and it's going to be, I'm going to touch briefly on the Chiefs again, sorry, but I now see right now a good 5 to 6 quarterbacks that throw the long ball better than Patrick Mahomes, and Drake May's near the top of that list, so he's going to have some big chunk yardage. It's going to be
sure,
and I got Travion Henderson in fantasy football.
I'm pretty sure that Patrick is like 30th or something in pass attempts more than 20 yards this year, which is horrible, but I can see it.
Yeah, I don't know if you mean rating or whatever, but we'll get to that.
I think PFF rating, yeah.
Yeah, rating. That makes sense because they've just been, just like I said, YOLO balls. But, you know, also Drake May, that Travion Henderson's had, I think it might be 3 straight great weeks or very good weeks, good weeks. But he certainly had 2 because I grabbed him for fantasy and he's done well with me, and they're even using him out of the backfield as far as receptions and stuff. So yeah, I'll take the Patriots, even though it's at the Bengals, by, I didn't know what you said, but I'm gonna go by 10.
There you go. I took it by 6. Now you have game of the week, New York Giants at Detroit Lions.
Ooh, the New York Giants at Detroit. The New York Giants at 2-9 versus the 6-4 Detroit Lions. See, this is what, well, it doesn't matter. It's the NFC, but I was going to say, this is what reminds me. It's like, it's always any given Sunday outside of about 2 teams this year. And so, yeah, the playoffs are so entirely makeable because here Detroit's setting at 6-4. Did they just come off a loss?
We know who they are. What was that?
Yeah, they lost to Philadelphia. But they've still got plenty of time here. And so does that mean they, a third place in the NFC North? Okay, I didn't even think about that. They've got and losing ground among the NFC teams with winning records. And they're not in the playoff picture. So they're like Kansas City. So I can't explain it. I mean, maybe that's the Ben Johnson is a thing after all. I mean, Detroit is so interesting because when you can beat them, you can beat them, and that's that. And when you can't beat them, you lost by 21 or something. It's just so strange with Detroit. It's really hard to understand. But I think that they're motivated here. And Dart, who I do like, wait a second. What, Dart was out, right? Yep. Jameis is set to start. So it's going to be a 5 game. We know what that is because I mentioned it more than once. And it's credit to who it was, just somebody on TV, a commentator. But I don't remember who. It's 5. Jameis is 5. You can count on 5. It's either going to be 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, or it's going to be one touchdown, four interceptions, or some combination. But it's going to be get your popcorn ready. That's what it's going to be. Jameis is incredibly bad, except in the moments where he's not. But you know, he's just bad. It's just so bad. And he could
throw it on black and red. It's like, man, sometimes, you know, it all works out.
Sometimes it works out. But on the other hand, sometimes you roll a 12, you know what I mean? On your two dice. Yeah, sometimes, but it's purely chance. It's actually like the dice is loaded against you. So Jameis is starting, and we're going to see what combination of five. It's not always five, but you get the picture. It's going to be three or four or five of touchdowns plus interceptions, and who knows which direction it's going to be. So yes, he completed. No, that was Goff. Goff is coming off a really bad completion percentage against the Eagles, only 37.8, which means they probably got to him, but I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, this one's easy. Detroit, and I'll go Detroit at home with something to play for by 14.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, so pretty much covered it all. And, I'm feeling the same way. I know we have a bunch of agrees already, but it is what it is. I'm not taking the Giants here. Lions, yeah, I'm going to take Lions by 21, just to one-up you.
All right, you got Minnesota 4-6 at Green Bay 6-3-1.
All right. Well, it could definitely be a close game. Packers seem like they are little bit of pretenders. We thought they were going to be a powerhouse for some reason. When I say we, I don't mean me. I mean the general consensus of fans.
Yeah, you definitely don't tend to think that. And yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I'm just saying that opinion is certainly documented.
Yeah, no, it's I definitely didn't really believe in him from the start because Jordan Love, I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he has what it takes to be like a 13-14, and so I don't know. I keep seeing flashes of them looking great, and then it's just right back to losing games they shouldn't or being in games with people that they shouldn't. And so with that, you know, Vikings sitting at 4-6, but they have, you know, they have the coach to do it. And I'm just gonna take one of my upsets here, and I'm gonna take the Vikings in Lambeau, which is even harder, but I'm going to take Vikings in Lambeau. I'm going to take them by 3.
Yeah, I have no upsets. I don't know if I'm going to use a rule this year, since I'm not even hardly looking at them. Oh, by the way, the last game, Detroit was majorly favored. It was like 14 or 13 and a half.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm going to say that this game is going to set the pace for the Bears to run away with the division.
Okay, yeah, Josh Jacobs did leave early, so now, yeah, for me, J.J. McCarthy has looked pretty good, but again, so Minnesota beat Green Bay twice last year. Darnold, who they let go, threw for 652 yards in those two victories and six touchdowns, although he did have two interceptions. McCarthy, he's resourceful, just like a Jackson Dart, but they just don't know the NFL playbook like the back of their hand coming out of college. Outside of like a Patrick, who even then he had a full year with a playbook, you're just going to have these 55% completion rates and this type of a thing. So he's completed, has McCarthy, just 52.9% of his passes with eight interceptions and six touchdowns. So here, yeah, I got to go Green Bay, which is going to leave me, I might have to break my own rule, but we're thinking of kind of a format change anyway, so I don't care. I hear where you're coming from with Green Bay not being that great. And so yeah. I can see this being, but I'm just going to take, you know, now that I've actually beat you 2 weeks in a row, I'm just going to just going to coast and now get slammed by, you know, every single difference you'll win. So Green Bay by 7.
All right.
So it would be Indy, Kansas City, but obviously not. So Seattle, Tennessee. Let's make this quick. Doesn't Doesn't Seattle did Seattle just lose, or they've had a little bit of strain?
Yes, they did.
Who did they lose to?
They lost to the Rams.
Yeah. So it's just
Darnold threw four picks.
It's just a superior team. The Titans are still dealing with all that they're dealing with, which is mostly if I can just sum it up quickly, it would be when I say they're dealing with all they're dealing with the Tennessee Titans. Yes. So I hate to not be interesting here, but I don't know. Seattle is a superior team. They've got something to play for, and this is literally if you would have said even last week before the loss, you would have said this is the best team versus the worst team. So it's just a matter of spread, and even though it's a Tennessee that won, it was just that miracle win, right? Several weeks back.
Yeah, where they had like the guy who intercepted it fumbled, and then they got it for a touchdown. That was great.
Was that the Cardinals?
Yeah, of course it was.
And it was more than several weeks back. They've lost five straight since. And remember, they got rid of their coach, and after which they've still lost four straight.
They looked better, though, in those games, in my opinion.
Sure. How about Cam? He's been sacked a lot. This is going to be a bloodbath. Even in Tennessee, I'm going to go Seattle by 11.
And for all the same reasons, he could not be interesting, but the game isn't interesting, so it is what it is. Also going to take Seahawks in their bounce-back game and get right week because Darnold threw four picks, but now he's going to look good again. And definitely going to take Seahawks here and take them by 13.
All right, this is one that is going to be at least possibly, a pick 'em, and that's Jacksonville at Arizona. You first.
Jacksonville at Arizona. That's
six and four. Jacksonville, Arizona, 3-7.
And whether it's Jacoby or Kyler, I don't really care.
Jacoby,
they're pretty much interchangeable in my mind. But yeah, I assume.
Jacoby. Yeah, they look different on the field. They look far different on the field. They look like polar opposites outside of their skin color. They're like, okay, one's an itty bitty guy, and Jacoby's a big dude, bro. He's a big guy. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and he sits in the pocket, and I think Jacoby is kind of giving him more than what Kyler would have. I mean, yeah, they're 3-7, but it's just like I don't really imagine Kyler pulling out any of those games. I don't really think he's much more of a gifted passer than Jacoby is. But yeah, so anyway, Jaguars coming in at 6-4. They looked like a football team again last week and actually played good. And so maybe they have a little bit of momentum coming into an easy week against the Cardinals, because it should be easy if they're 6-4 and they're 3-7. So if they lose this, I'm going to disrespect them for the rest of the year every week. For that reason, I'm going to take Jaguars. I'm going to take them by 10. But, if the Cardinals upset them, it wouldn't shock me. But I definitely will just continuously disrespect and unload on them in the future if that does happen.
Well, get ready to, because the Jacksonville Jaguars are no good. And I am going to pick Arizona in my upset pick, because I think it's an upset pick. So just for me to have one, it turns out Brissett has been about as productive after he started as anybody in the league. Actually, only trailing Drake May in yards since week six. So
hey, I knew a good completion percentage, right?
I think so. I think it's just been a real nice since he's thrown for 1570 and 10 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and 5 starts. So that's actually averaging over 300 yards. That said, Jacksonville. Just beat the snot out of some loser team. What was that loser team? They just, that loser? I can think of, it's one of those guys who was in Brother Bowl. Is their coach? What is that total loser team? I just can't tell. Oh, the Chargers. Yeah, the Jaguars just dominated the Chargers 35-6 somehow. I don't even understand what happened. But we were watching Red Zone, so I didn't really, really piece it together. Probably should just take notes as I'm watching Red Zone. That would be smart, but I don't have it. So it's interesting because the Jaguars won two of their three, but had a really big victory last week. But I'm going Cardinals here, and I'm going to go Cardinals by 3. So next game here is Cleveland at Las Vegas, and you just vamp for a second, because I do get to go first here, but this is the Tide Bowl. They are... That's different than the Tidy Bowl. The 2-8. They're 2-8. Which, hey, now you get anybody who's tied after 10 weeks. That is a little unusual when they play each other. So just vamp while I pull up the CBS page real quick.
Yeah, so I guess Shador's first start. He had his first official week actually getting practice reps with the starters. So he's not going to have any chemistry with them just like last week, but. Going to play the Raiders, though, and, you know, the Raiders are one of the teams that I thought should have picked him up or would have had potential to pick him up, you know, or would be at least in the mindset of doing so. And so I think Shador might come in here and maybe play good enough to, to be like, hey.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
I appreciate your ability to vamp because that's important. Well, DeMarcus is now, I'm going to be very vague because I like the idea of anonymity, but he's a salesperson. It's a good thing. It's a good job to have as a younger adult because you do have to kind of be ready to improvise and, you know, just think of the next thing and let your thoughts, you know, your processor is going as you go. So good job on that vamping. So, the Browns and the Raiders, Dylan Gabriel out. To your point, Sanders, it wasn't pretty last week at all. I don't remember how much of the game he played, but after that concussion, he is starting, but he's only 4 for 16 for 47 yards. However, to your point, then, you don't get first team reps, basically, the whole week, typically. And I think Dylan had probably gone ahead and cemented himself because they just didn't want that all that controversy coming after him. So they said, I don't want to be set here with them getting split starts because the only thing they seem to care about in the press about the Browns is whether or not Shadur might start. So we don't need all that drama. So I'm sure he was solidly in place, was Gabriel. So no, there was no first team reps for Shadur. And now that he does have them, has Junkins been doing decently lately, or did he drop off? Early, he was pretty good.
I think he's still been doing pretty well. I mean, he's got 620 yards, so he could potentially, what is there, like 7 more weeks? He could potentially have 1,000 yards as a rookie, so 620, 5 touchdowns, only averages 3.95 per carry, but could be worse.
Wow. Did you know that Garrett is on track to be among Reggie White and Mark Gastineau if he can get 2 sacks today to have the only people at least 17 through the first 11 games of a season? That's crazy.
I did not know that.
So they're going to sack poor Geno. This is going to be a super interesting game, man. Because
it might be really fun to watch.
I think it might be. Shadur is, you know, he has that easy accuracy when he sees the throw. When he realizes where he wants to go, he makes a decision pretty quickly from what I saw at college. And then he does have good accuracy, which at the pro level is what separates real guys from not. But I don't know if he's going to have time. No, he'll have time. Where are the Raiders? Okay, I'm going to pick Cleveland here, and it's going to be a super interesting game, I think. And it could be because both teams do bad. But how can I so abandon Geno that he can't even beat a rookie quarterback in his first start? Holy cow! It's at the Raiders. Surely Geno, sure, but it's against a good defense, so he's going to get. I am going to go Browns here in a interesting, just through sheer disaster. You know, look, we're looking at two different disasters going on, and I think the Browns defense is going to be the difference here, and so I'll go Browns by 4.
Yep, I think it is going to be a matter of the defense. I think the Browns probably will win the takeaway battle, but, you know, you do have the Raiders' entire defense. Max Crosby on that side. So he could ruin a rookie's day or rookie's week one or first start. He could totally ruin it. So that's the only way I see the Raiders winning is if Max Crosby has a field day. But otherwise, I just plan to see Max Crosby have a great stat line put up next to his face while he rages on the sideline like every week. So,
yeah, I feel bad for him because he's loyal and he is pretty good. Don't get me wrong. He's pretty good, but I appreciate that loyalty. If I was on a team that was just down there, I would want the guy to want to stay, you know, but yeah, it does make you feel bad for him. Kind of like when, Gonzalez left the Chiefs. Kind of when it's like, well, he probably deserves some time with somebody else. Of course, the bad thing is he picked it. Did he pick Atlanta? Is that where he went?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, duh. Anyway. So, did you finish that then? Go ahead. I interrupted
you. No, I didn't. No, you're good. So yeah, with that being said, I'm going to take Cleveland. Kind of a risky pick because, yeah, you do have the veteran quarterback on the other side, but he's played horrible this entire year. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and hope that we have a good story and Shador gets to lead the team to a win, and maybe he'll get traded next year to a team and maybe he can develop right and become a starter eventually. But yeah, no, I'm going to take Browns here. I'm going to take them by 3.
Las Vegas is favored by 4. Just look at that. Yeah, he would be one. It's like I can tend to be like, and when everybody gets picked on too much, I kind of like the opposite thing to happen. I know because Dion can't get out of his own way as far as just saying dumb things. And he doesn't do it a lot, but he doesn't do it a lot, but he says it just enough that it irritates enough people that then people then bring that back to Shador. And because of that, I'd kind of like him to just kind of overcome that. I know it seems weird for other people. What do you mean? Overcome what? He had a privileged childhood. I get it. But you know what I mean? It's just a lot of pressure you and I never have to worry about as far as, you know, just criticism and all that. So I wouldn't mind seeing Shador come into his own. That would be pretty cool. All right, so
about it too. As long as he keeps his ego down, because you know, of course, he had it a little bit at times and would flash it sometimes back when in Colorado. But I've really liked the way he's handled things this year. Other than like whatever, he had some weird press conference thing going on that he said something that people were upset about.
Yeah, and he's got to get better at that. But it's just part of it. It's like don't get over it. People tend to get butthurt. It's like it's a hobby to get butthurt about certain people. And there's always about 10 people in sports that if they say something dumb, then everybody has to just turn the water about it. You know, it's like, you know how many dumb things I said in the last 48 hours? A lot of dumb things. You know,
if there aren't cameras on us 24/7.
Yeah, and people being ready to interpret, was he trying to give somebody a slight? Oh, did he mean something else by this? And, or, you know, how stupid is he? You know, and so that's tough. I mean, I know he's had a privileged childhood and all that, but it'd be cool to see him, kind of grow. So I'm not saying I'm rooting for him today. I just say the game's going to be interesting. I just picked the Browns today. I also, same idea. Geno is what he is. He's not an elite quarterback. And when you're not an elite quarterback in the NFL, it can be rough sometimes. It just is what it is. All right, you've got Philadelphia at the Cowboys, 8-2 Eagles versus 4-5-1 Cowboys.
All right, Eagles coming into this looking hot, looking like the best team in the league again, in my opinion. Showing no signs of slowing up. It seems like they've gotten a lot better. They had a rough start to the season, and it was really annoying to watch them play football, but now they're starting to actually play some decent football that's watchable and not just petty, disgusting. Get to 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, it will be good. That's what was disgusting me, and I hated watching them. And they still do it, of course, because it's their little thing, and they cheat every time, but it's fine because I think they'd win most of the games anyway if they had to improvise from that play. But so Eagles coming into this, going into Dallas. You know, Dak has still had a pretty decent year, regardless of the record. He's still putting up good stats like he always does when he's healthy. The Cowboys are just going to cowboy, man. It just is what it is. I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, it's funny, really too, because to their personnel, right? I mean, on the offensive side, I don't know, man. I was going to say, you'd take Dallas's personnel, but I don't know. The Eagles, maybe not. They've got pretty nice high level pieces. So, but they're certainly, when you say Cowboys are going to cowboy, it's funny because on the offensive side, you're like, how are they going to cowboy? They've got a nice, nice pieces over there.
Go ahead. I just don't get it. There's something, it's just their aura. It's just their aura. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
That's a reference to something we'll mention later.
Yeah. No, it's just their aura. But yeah, no, the Cowboys, on paper, they're a good team, man. But yeah, so they're at home. And for some reason, you know, I'm actually going to take them because it would make my day if they did happen. If it did happen, the Eagles can afford a loss, they can drop one. Cowboys need a win desperately. I could just see it happening. And they're at home. It's a division game. Dak is a good quarterback. So, yeah, I'm just going to take Cowboys here, and I'm going to take them in an upset. I'm going to take them by three.
From your lips to God's ear on that, because I'm not seeing that, but I just like to have – here's the thing. Everything is for me is through a Chiefs lens, and I know – I don't know how the hell they get there, but I happen to know that this team is good enough this year to actually be undefeated. or let me say this, undefeated after they got Xavier Worthy back. I'm talking about the Chiefs now. And so when I think of that, I just don't know how they're going to get there. I'm really starting to think there's almost no way to get there. And it basically closes if they don't beat Indy today. I mean, Indy on Sunday. But therefore, I think way ahead. Anybody who's had a team where they've been very successful over a period of time, you actually do start thinking about who might be your Super Bowl, contender, or rather opponent. And I just want to see a little bit of weakness in Philadelphia. And so that's why I say from your lips to God's ear, because if Dallas, who just seems so up and down, even though they've got a good offense, can beat a Philadelphia team that, even though supposedly with this AJ Brown drama and all, it hasn't come to any concerns at 8-2, then that would show, you know, some of us, is it fluky or is it, what is the chink in the armor of Philadelphia? Because in my opinion, they're the Super Bowl favorite now as well. The Chiefs were until their last loss, and that was probably just basing it off of, we said many weeks ago that that Vegas is admitted or the math says, no, it's not really who we expect exactly to win by how much. We do tip it towards what the population is thinking. And it's therefore a bunch more people were going with the Chiefs, right? But after this last week, there's no doubt we're no longer Super Bowl favorites in the AFC, no matter our record. It was always like, well, despite the record, the Chiefs are still the favorite to make the Super Bowl. But I think Dallas totally is the favorite on the NFC side. It's an interesting NFC. I'm sorry, the Eagles are. Yeah, the Eagles are on the NFC side. So yeah, I just like to see them have a little bit of a weakness. To your point, the offense still isn't looking that good on the Eagles side, but they always seem to get it where they need it. Right, whether it's from the Slim Reaper, from AJ Brown, and even Barkley, he's had some, you know, better games lately. I can't remember exactly what he did last week, but I feel like he got a couple of big runs last week. I don't exactly remember. He's been certainly looking better. So for me, even though I hear you, I don't see it. I'm gonna go Philadelphia here. It could be an offensive, interesting game. I mean, to your point, it's NFC East. And so the Dallas Cowboys might be up for it. And maybe that offense does make the difference. So I can totally see your upset pick. I can totally see it.
Catch Philly on a bad offensive day and then execute on it. Take that advantage if it happens.
Yeah, Philly's only averaged 200 passing yards. Even what we see is those big, all of a sudden it's a 30-yard Slim Reaper play. And you go, okay, well, somewhere in there, he's still getting 220, 230, right? No, average is only 200 pass yards. Now, that's spread across the whole year, though, so I'm not sure about that. But I'm still going to take the Eagles here. I'm going to take them by three.
All right. And
turns out that's exactly the line, too. It's actually Eagles are favored by three.
Gotcha.
Atlanta, and New Orleans.
Yeah, that's the game of the week as well.
No, Atlanta is just, I know we're speaking in generalities, not being as, I'm not personally as prepared this week, but you just keep going, shouldn't Atlanta be better? You just keep saying it. And I said it before, outside of Barkley, and that was very reliant on the tush push. Really good running backs don't do you that much good, unfortunately. Not as much as really good receivers and really good quarterbacks. Just doesn't. Because Bijan's pretty much a monster, but doesn't matter. They're 3-7. So this is 3-7 versus 2-8. Tyler Shuck. Have we decided we know how to say his name yet? We had like an orientation period for everybody. Is it Shuck or Shug? It's Shuck, right?
It's Shuck.
Yeah, like aw shucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did he do last week?
Think about, he actually hasn't been looking that bad, honestly, in my opinion. I mean, 61% completion percentage, but and 3-2 on touchdowns and picks, but I thought he was going to be astronomically bad. But anytime you said the thing about the running backs, anytime I think about running backs and people try to tell me that they're worse, you know, more can get you the playoffs by themselves, I just think about all those years Derrick Henry was just over there putting up dang near 2K every year, and they got nothing from it, basically.
They could have beat us that one year had they bothered to, you know, had they bothered to run in the second half, but that's
another. They had two or three real years, and then every other year, Derrick Henry's just an absolute statistic monster, and they're over there going like 3-13 and crap. But yeah.
So, yeah, Shuck, is this just his second one, or is this his third?
Third, so, I believe.
Yeah, so Tyler Shuck, Penix Jr. Wait, what's the, I thought, it's not Penix that got a little hurt, is it? No, is it going to be Cousins today?
I think it might be Cousins, yeah.
Uncertainty on the plan. Oh, no, it is Cousins. Last week it was uncertainty on the plan. So Saints, they don't have a defense that's gonna rattle him too much, do they?
Not really.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go Cousins and Bijan and everybody on the Atlanta side have a good game. This is gonna be so stupid because it's gonna be them favored again. But I could see it being a close game. Like you said, Shuck hasn't looked that bad. But I'm going to go Falcons. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Cousins. Yeah, Cousins leads the Falcons. This is, I'm going to go Falcons by 4.
All right. For me, it's kind of a toss-up, especially considering that Penix isn't playing. But I think that the Falcons are just a more talented team on paper, at least, you know, and they could easily screw it away and lose, especially considering it's in the Superdome. And I've always respected New Orleans' home field advantage, but they're 10 weeks in and they're 2-8, so it might not be as bad. Fans might not be cheering as loud or showing up as much. So with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and take Atlanta because I really like their weapons. I really, really do. And the Saints are pretty awful. So I'm going to take Falcons here, and I'm going to take them by 7.
And people listening, no, it's not what I said, might be going, Drake London's out. Does that change your opinion at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they got Chris Olave on the other side, but I just don't think it's enough to – I don't really think it's enough to stop Atlanta.
The other thing is that at the trade deadline, the Saints got rid of their other good little quick receiver. It has, I can't remember, almost sounds like a Middle Eastern name.
Shahid.
Yeah. So he's gone too, to your point. And it turns out actually New Orleans is favored by 2. I did not know that. Okay, so you got Tampa Bay Rams, 6-4 Tampa, 8-2 Rams. This is either Sunday night. Yeah, it's a Sunday night game.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, I actually got the game of the week, in my opinion. Yeah, no, so Tampa, you got Baker and them coming in, really looking for a win. Rams are looking hot, just beat what was looking like the best team in the league in Seattle. But so Tampa, they have to have this. I mean, they're going to be 6-5 if they don't. So they're going to be coming in here hungry. Hopefully they're getting a little more healthy. I know early on that they were struggling with that, with health a lot, especially from the receivers. But, you know, Baker, despite that, is still pretty dang good. I mean, 17 touchdowns to 3 picks. We'll take it. But Stafford, holy crap, 27 touchdowns to 2 picks. That's just insane. And he won't have, like, crazy yards game to game. He'll have, like, 200 yards and 4 touchdown passes.
I noticed that last week. I noticed that last week because, well, over the last few weeks, because Stafford is my usual starter in fantasy. And, you know, he's not awesome unless he gets touchdowns because, you know, running quarterbacks are such an advantage in fantasy. But I noticed that a lot of times it's not just massive yards. Anyway, go ahead.
Right, which I think previous years he usually did because, you know, Cooper Kupp and Calvin Johnson and stuff. But, yeah, this year it's just like he's just lighting up the scoreboard. But, yeah, so this game is going to be freaking awesome. It's going to be Sunday Night Football. We got good old Collinsworth. Yes. And so I'm actually really, really looking forward to watching this. So, man, I don't want it to happen. I don't want the Rams to win. I want Tampa to win and keep the NFC really interesting because it really would be. It'd be 8-3 versus 7-4 after that, and their divisions would be getting all tight. I really, really want to take Buccaneers here, so I'm going to go ahead and take them. Not the biggest Todd Bowles believer, honestly, but I'm going to take him here, and I'm going to take him by 2 in a thriller.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that game. And last week you took Tampa, and that's one place where we differed, and I actually got that right. I can't remember really what the game flow was. I think it was actually relatively, at least.
It was stupid Buffalo, and Buffalo won because of a penalty that was non-existent.
Yeah, so I like the observations you had. Realize Baker was with the Rams, so he learned a little bit there, and it helped him kind of revitalize his career. So that's kind of an interesting little piece. But going back out to L.A., man, I just still feel like Tampa, to your point, Bowles and Baker and the whole group without Evans and. They still don't have Godwin. He's out too for the whole year, is it? I still feel like they're a little bit of the little engine that could. And I like them, but again, those games where they won, like, I don't know, 5 in a row, last possession, some crazy, something, whatever that was, they were all that. They, you know, were kind of fluky and they had to go do it. Remember, the Chiefs won a lot of close games last year, but typically they weren't okay. Keep it. I'm not saying they weren't overwhelmingly, but we now got to catch up in the last 2 minutes. It was a mix of having to catch up or keeping a close lead or whatever. So even though I like Tampa Bay a lot and I like their personnel, man, Los Angeles, to your point, 8-2 and 6-4. This is not a big difference in talent either. But I just like Stafford again and Puka and Adams. I kind of feel like Adams is a little underperformed. Do you think he's found his role with the Rams? I just feel like
that's the perfect role for him at his age. Because he, you know, I mean, I think he was starting to, you know, if he would have stayed with the Jets, he would be very unproductive. And he probably would be posting stuff like A.J. Brown, too, because Justin Fields can't throw a football. But, yeah, no, I think it's a perfect spot for him because Stafford's always going to wheel and deal no matter who his receivers are. And so it's,
yeah, and Puka's got the more.
It's enough production to be relevant, you know.
Puka's got more of the explosive high-end stuff, and then Devontae can be hands guy and all this. So, yeah, I guess so. I was going to say, well, I don't know if I'm that impressed by his productivity this year. But, man, I'm going to go Los Angeles here. And I'm going to go Los Angeles by, I can see him maybe making it close. I'll go by 5, Los Angeles.
I think the overwhelming thing for the case of Los Angeles winning is just that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are out. I mean, I like,
oh yeah, I mean that
the whole year, dude, they would be like 9-2 as well or something like that.
I think that's a great point. It really just is where their injuries landed with the way Baker is. But as good as Baker is, I think Evans will come back. I mean, at least get another year or two or three in his career. And if he gets both them back and his chemistry with Igbuka as well, then they could be a real problem next year. And they could definitely beat somebody in the playoffs. I forget exactly where they are in the playoff standings. I mean, they're a good team. I just continue to not quite pick them. So when we talked about the different teams that tend to get us, there's two things. Which teams tend to get us? And then which teams are we stubbornly saying, oh, no, they should win, and then they get us because of that? Or we just stubbornly say, no, I think it's going to be a close one, but I don't believe in them, and I think they'll lose. I think there's definitely patterns for us with that, and one is yours going with Tampa, and one is mine tending to go against Tampa.
So it goes in your favor, though, because when I'm picking Tampa, it's mostly with my emotions. Like, that's my feeler pick, you know?
Well, and I do others, right? And I just can't think of them off the top of my head, where I just tend to go, nah, I don't believe in that team enough. And then they win some, and I go, ah. You know, I tend to pick this team to win. Or it can be, I tend to pick this team's, whoever the opponent is, I think they can pull it out. So this one's Panthers at 49ers. This is so strange. Like, this is actually potentially interesting. Purdy's back, but he wasn't particularly prolific or anything in his return. The Panthers have been pretty good. Winning record.
Surprising.
Yeah, winning record this late in the season for the first time since 2018. And haven't they probably gone either a little bit of a streak or like 3 out of 4 or something like that?
It's probably a 3 out of 4 or something like that, because they drop games, but yeah.
Yeah, and I Bryce Young's look like a quarterback, which I would not have said. And like I said, if I was in the NFC, I'd be like, oh, no, go ahead and pay him, please, because he's not going to get you there if I was a contender. But he's looked serviceable for sure. And they won at Atlanta. But again, Atlanta, I mean, every single victory against Atlanta the value has gone down in the stock market as the weeks pass, you know, but they did, it took them overtime, but they won 30-27 last week in Atlanta.
Yeah, you got to remember they just sweep that series. You know, it was 30-0 last time that they played Atlanta at home. So,
and the Niners were productive. I know that, Kittle had another nice game. Purdy didn't really have a lot of yards, but he, you know, they had, I think, a nice touchdown game. Yeah, 3 touchdown passes. So, you know, Kittle being back, I know Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, the guy who came in on the defensive side for Warner, I know since that point, he's been playing pretty well. They tend to point him out on the national broadcast and say he's really taken on that role pretty good. Chuba Hubbard is still a thing. It's Dowdle. It's Dowdle. I got my guys mixed up. Where's Dowdle? Is this the team Dowdle's on?
Yes,
okay, yeah,
Panthers.
Yeah, there he is. There he is. I was just looking at a story. And I'm like, why is his name not on the stats? Man, Rico Dowdle has been one of the stories of the lesser teams this year, I'd say. He's been really, really good. 168 for 833. So let's see. That's well over 4 yards a carry and up closer to 5, right?
I'd say he's the reason that you can make Bryce Young look like a quarterback, because he's opening up the pass game for him single-handedly.
Yeah, I think so too. So this is one of those where I've tended to, I think, believed in the 49ers too much. Because I go, I don't know how they keep getting it done, but they do. But in this case, I don't think there's any reason not to believe in the 49ers. They're finally themselves, thick in the race and at 7-4 in a where you have to compete in the NFC West, and they're at home, and they've got a Kittle back and they've got Purdy back. So CMC, unless Carolina does this great against back. Yeah, and Pearsall. So pretty hard. I love Teteroa McMillan over there. Xavier Leggett, we've talked about over and over again. You look at their top level talent on the other side, it's at least interesting, right? Because you got Teteroa McMillan, you've got Xavier Leggett, and you've got Rico Dowdle. Like, that's looking pretty nice. And to your point, that's some of the reason why Bryce looks better. So it could be interesting, but I could also just see this being a curb stomp. So yeah, I'm going
to
take.
I don't want to say that to discredit Bryce either. I think, you know.
He has looked better anyway. Yeah.
A quarterback needs a team single-handedly. Yeah.
Yeah, he has looked better regardless, but all those pieces that have emerged have certainly helped. But that said, I'm going to take San Francisco here and just say they have a fun game and they go by nine.
All right.
Yeah, they have a game where people are celebrating, you know, kind of like last Saturday where one side of the stadium goes M-I-S and the other one goes E-R-Y and they go back and forth.
Right, right.
Yeah, kind of just a fun, let's glow, bask in the glow type of a game.
I won't even say the letters, man. I really like this matchup too, actually. I think it'd be super awesome if the Panthers won. That'd be so fun. But
it would. Not because I'm against the Niners. Just it would be fun to see the Panthers have a game like that and win and just kind of surprise you.
Absolutely.
I like the Niners. There's not an NFC West team I don't like. I don't know why. Obviously, part of it sits the other conference, but I like all those NFC West teams. They're like, none of them do I go, ugh.
Sometimes I get that way with the Niners, but yeah, I agree. Only sometimes. It's like maybe 2 years ago I did. But yeah, I really hope that, you know, it's a good game. It would suck if it's a blowout, but it'd be fun to have a nice Monday Night Football game and that's surprising and stuff. I don't really necessarily think I can take the Panthers, you know, because we're starting to get so close with our records and stuff. So I got to start being safe, especially if I'm going to take Tampa against the Rams. But I do think it's going to be a really fun one to watch, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I think you covered it pretty well. You know, the Niners are getting really healthy again, and you know, starting to looking like they're waking up a little bit, getting the oil going. So I'm going to take Niners. I'm going to take them by four.
Okay, check this out.
As much as we have to say and want to say about the Chiefs, I do have to get going soon. So we definitely, let's try and wrap it up, even though I would love to unload.
Okay, so very quickly, though, who knew this? Bryce Young has led 10 game-winning drives in his career. I might have to change my opinion, including four this season, tied for third most by a player before turning 25 since the 2000 scene.
I would not have known that.
And tied, tied for the most among QBs since 2023. Interesting. So as far as the Chiefs, the unload, let's see. We got to play Indy. So this is both a rant, but it's going to be quick. They don't look like a team that's trying to win. And Patrick quarterback. Yeah, that's what you should call him typically. In any other year, you'd say Patrick and quarterback is synonymous. And now he looks like, I'm just going to be honest, you'll have a differing opinion. He doesn't even look in the games where we lose, particularly the last two, like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL. So I have no idea what the mix of play calling in the moment versus game planning during the week versus decision making is. I don't know. I just know that if you'd put any old uniform on him and you couldn't tell by his really obvious gait, you would not think he was an elite quarterback, let alone this generation's quarterback. But I know he is. So right now, it's a total crapshoot with the Chiefs because I know that outside of the first couple weeks, maybe when they didn't have Worthy, since they got Rice back, at least they should be undefeated and beat every team easily. I know that that is their ability. So I don't know how you lose two in a row when you had something really, really on the line for playoff contention, and now you're actually outside looking in. I don't know the entirety. I know the Chiefs defense is not as good as it was, but they still put in decent efforts. And every single game that we could have won, we could have won by 14, actually. That's the thing. Nobody's a juggernaut that we've lost to. Certainly not Jacksonville, certainly not Buffalo, and certainly not Denver. So it's just a matter of putting it together. And if this week they decide to pull their heads out of their asses and act like they know how to use their wide receivers, like they did the moment Rashee Rice stepped back on the field after, you know, 18 games away or whatever it was, if they do that and act like they know what to do with the wide receivers they have, which should be the most dynamic set of wide receivers on the planet nearly, when used right, then we win, and we win this game easily. Just like every other game, we should have lost two games so far this year. But if we decide to F around like we have for 2 weeks in a row, then we'll find ourselves on the outside looking in. That's my long story short on that. With that, I will say that I believe the Chiefs in a corner, in the biggest of corners. And is this at Indy? Or is it at home? It's at the Chiefs, right? They'll win. And Indy's gonna be to me the toughest team they've played this year, because the Eagles weren't there. To me, right, Indy is the most balanced and most difficult team, and this one will win somehow. So I'm gonna go Chiefs by five.
Yeah, so the thing that concerns me is that we're saying the exact same narrative as last week, and it's true, and it was true last week. If we utilize our weapons the way that we should, we will win. If we don't play like retards, we will win. Well, it's like, and you saw probably at the beginning of last week's game that stat line that was like, oh, we're horrible on the road this year, absolutely pathetic, and we're amazing at home. So thank God this is at home. But yeah, no, I totally agree. It's just like, man, so at what point are you going to decide to make drastic change, or, you know, be consistent?
Where are the Rashee? Do you remember, we're talking Rashee in the year where we thought we weren't going to win, but all of a sudden he was incredible in the last six games. Through the playoffs, where are the drags across the middle where you get the ball to him with some room, and all of a sudden he goes in a diagonal, granted, but in a diagonal another 30 yards, gaining another 15 yards. Where are those? Well, now you have more people to take that pressure off of every single one of them, and we do it worse in the last 2 weeks? Anyway, go ahead.
Agreed. And we want to pretend like we can't run the ball, you know, because it's Kareem Hunt. No, when you give it to Kareem Hunt, he does better than Pacheco this year. Literally, he's done that. He's done that the entire season. Do you not?
As the feature back the last 2 weeks, he has done better per carry, and it's not even been close.
How are you coaches within the organization and unable to identify that fact? That fact, it's an objective, observable fact that you see. And they're supposedly doing more in-depth, you know, film watching than us. I mean, obviously they are, obviously. But you would think that you would notice that and be like, oh, wow, he actually rips off four or five pretty much every time we give it to him, and we don't give it to him with zero momentum in the backfield like an idiot. Maybe we should do more downhill runs, since he always falls forward every single time, and maybe that will open up the pass game. Because when we have a nice little run thing going, which we're going to tomorrow, because it's a home game, so we're just going to play better, apparently, we're going to open up the pass way more. We're going to move like a unit. But, yeah, no, I mean, this is the moment, though. This is the moment. I've said it since the first loss this year. I said, oh, well, I'm glad we're losing these close games, because now we should be learning that you can't F around and keep every single game close against teams that you are better than and expect to come out of it A-OK every time. Because that's what we did last year, and then we got absolutely spanked, butt booty naked in front of the entire world on the Super Bowl. And so we continued the trend, and the trend did not keep going in our favor. We didn't keep getting black magic and winning in ridiculous ways. No, we started losing when we deserved to, because when you play down to your opponent, you deserve to lose. And so this is the turning point. You have to have this game be the turning point. If it isn't, then I'm actually going to start losing hope, and it's which is crazy to say, at least for this season. But no, I mean, I really do expect us to do it because I know we can, and it's at home, and I don't think the Colts are as good as you think they are.
Yeah, I get you. They didn't look as good. It was either last week or the week before. They didn't look anywhere near strong.
And I think we have the capability to make Daniel Jones play terrible. We always do that against quarterbacks who are like starting to come up a little bit. We can really get to quarterbacks like him, I feel like, and make him mess up a lot. I think they get in their head, and I think he's one of the ones who will. And so I'm, you know, my gut says we're going to win it, so I think we're going to do it. But it's just, we just shouldn't even be in this situation or be having these conversations.
Every single game, every single game, they go, oh man, that's their best victory. They're something. They beat the Chiefs. And then almost immediately they show, yeah, I mean, they're kind of more mid than we thought. Even up to and including Buffalo. Literally the last possible chance for us to show it. Just lost.
Yeah.
You know, the Jaguars lost. Denver's probably going to lose next time they play. I guess they have a bye this week. I'm trying to think. I don't think we had a game with them. You know, so we just, when we show it, we show it. And do you think that with our talent, the offensive line is much better than last year overall?
Yes.
Okay. The wide receiving core is much better overall than last year. Yes.
Because they're healthy.
The running backs are no worse than last year. Yes. True.
Correct.
The only weakness would be the defensive line. Do you agree relatively?
Yeah.
But not the the defensive backfield is this kind of the same, you know, still pretty
good. Yeah.
So do you believe that we could have just lost two games where you could go, well, I guess because Xavier Worthy and we weren't really rolled up to speed yet. We didn't have Rashee Rice, we didn't have Xavier Worthy, and we were just getting into the season. But was it 0-2 that we started? It was 0-2,
yes.
Right? Do you not believe that we could have and should have been just undefeated since then?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, Worthy was hurt and all that, but he came back, and then, you know, we started rolling, and then we just dropped a game that we shouldn't have dropped.
Yeah.
Which was freaking Jacksonville.
I think that I would have put the chances of, just knowing what I know about what the talent's shown, how that left side of the line has looked and everything, that I would have put, if you had to just, you know, kind of show me how they're playing and how well they're doing at peak and at low, but not tell me what games, I would have, you know, what games were won and what games were not, I would have put a higher percentage by far that we were undefeated, and therefore we'd only lost two games still, than that we were at 5-5. Wouldn't you?
Okay, yeah, I would have. But yeah, so anyway, with all that being said, I do believe we will pull it off. I know for a fact we have the capability to, like you said, but I really do think we will, especially considering that it's at home and it's a noon game. I don't think Indy's going to be ready. I'm actually going to take us by 13 here. I think it's going to be a big statement win, and we're going to have a get right game. And I don't think Indy's going to score very many points. I don't think they're going to score more than 17.
The issue is kind of like one of the other teams where it doesn't help a lot because that's not your direct competition in the playoffs, unfortunately, but it'll still be a good win. You're not really gaining two in some way, right? Because it's not somebody that might end up down near the wild card, but hey, a win's a win. So we'll take it.
Yes. That's what we need. We just need a win.
All right. Thanks for joining in, DeMarcus. Have a good day.
Sure.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.